for whatever reason, ends up hurting himself. Or someone has said something ugly to her. And they seek comfort. And they will not be comforted until they get to the loving arms of Mama. There's just something about the loving arms of Mother that seems to at least be able to take away a lot of the pains that are in our lives. Godly mothers, oh, the world needs them. And children need them in particular. And children need to know that Father also can comfort, but because Mom is the one that is around the most, it is the mother that the child goes to. It's amazing what just a kiss on a burn or on what one would call boo-boo, just a kiss from the lips of Mother seems to make everything so much better. I think in some ways we try to hold on to that when even as we get older in years, and maybe that's why it's hard to say goodbye to a mother, because she was always there, at least most, always there to comfort and always there to just seem to say the right thing at the right time. Even after we got married and had our own children, it just seemed that Mama always knew what to say in most circumstances. Life is not always pretty either for those of us who are older. And as we get older, there are things that come along our way, such as grief and fear and loss and sickness. And all of us from time to time need some comfort. We need to have someone that we can go to for consolation. And we need individuals that we can go to that will give us the proper kind of encouragement and consolation. God knew we were going to need comfort. God knew that we were going to need encouragement. And so he made plans in his plans for mankind. That idea in Romans 8, all things work together to them that love the Lord. The context has reference to eternal salvation. And God knew that man was going to need eternal salvation because of sin in his life. And so therefore, he made proper preparation in the giving of his son. The term comfort itself is an interesting word. It is the same word that is used when Jesus promised to his disciples that he was going to send them a comforter, one that was like himself, that was just like him. And he was called the comforter, the paraclete. And the idea of comfort or the idea of the paraclete is one that you can call to one side, one that can give you aid. It is with the idea of encouragement to alleviate the grief maybe in our particular lives. We should understand that all comfort that's really worth anything comes from God himself. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and there verse 3, we find the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration as he speaks to our brethren at Corinth who needed encouragement. He said, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the Father of comfort." I really don't understand how man can exist on this earth without having someone greater than himself and greater than the creature himself. I don't understand how he can really get through life without having someone that he can bring alongside of him. I understand the importance of one's parents. I understand the importance of one's mate. And both mate and both parent are there for the purpose of comforting. But let's face it, there are some times that our parents and even our mate cannot give us what we need. The reason that God can offer us comfort is because in Romans chapter 15 and there verse 13, it says he is the God of hope. If you take away hope from an individual, there is no means of comfort whatsoever. If you've ever had to visit someone who was nigh on to death and they have lost all hope, it is a miserable situation as far as life continuing is concerned. Now, it's not dealing with their eternal life, because there are those who recognize that they may not have any hope physically. Even though they'd like to stay, their hope in Christ has not diminished and not hurt them in one way or the other. But the question that we have to ask is simply this: how is it, if God comforts us, how is it that God does that? How is it that He comforts us? What is it that He has done? What is it that He will do in order that we might find comfort? The first thing that I need to share with you is this: that comfort that comes from God is found in His Word. I don't know about you, but at least I always find myself feeling better when I immerse myself in the divine will of God. It helps me get through whatever things that I find myself in need of. Someone quite often will call and they'll ask, "David, I just need something that will pick me up. I just need something that's going to uplift me. Can you tell me what book in the Bible will sort of encourage and strengthen me?" And I always direct them to the book of Psalms. For it is the heart of a man, that is David, as he expresses his feelings in so many ways in reference to Jehovah. But one of the things that you see readily in the book of Psalms is David's willingness to acknowledge who God is and that He is the source of all comfort. And Psalms chapter 1 and there verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." God knows who I am. God knows what I need. In Psalms chapter 18, and there beginning with verse 1, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." In chapter 23, and there beginning with verse 1, a passage that we hear read quite frequently at funeral services. It should not, brethren, it should not be just read for funeral services. It is one of these passages that we get youngsters to memorize very early. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Then in Psalms chapter 37, beginning with verse 5, or 3, excuse me, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Philippians chapter 4 and there verse 13, where the Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And in that context of Philippians 4, and there verse 13 in particular, is talking about all the difficulties of life that Paul has found himself in. And in all the difficulties of life that he found himself in, he said, through Christ, I find strength. We need to spend time reading God's divine will. We need to spend time meditating upon God's will. Some years ago, I ran across something, and there'll be a copy of it out on the table, and I'm just going to make mention of it here. And it was in the bulletin several years ago, and it was called emergency phone numbers. And the emergency phone numbers were, of course, directed towards God. It says, when in sorrow, call John 14. When men fail you, read Psalms 27. If you want to be fruitful, call John 15. And the idea that whatever situation you find yourself in life, there is a passage somewhere. There's a passage somewhere that can give you comfort, that can give you the strength that is needed at that particular time. Is it not the Apostle Paul who said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable? And it goes on to say that it's profitable to all things. And then he told the young man Timothy to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if God has said that it will completely furnish a man into all good works, it means if I have a difficulty in life, then I can turn to Scripture to find the answer. But in order to turn to Scripture, I've got to know the Scripture. I've got to meditate upon it. I've got to dwell in it. I'm afraid that in some ways we've gotten so used to commentaries and even computers now, that instead of reading and studying, we click on a word and we go and we read what someone else has put there for us. And sometimes what we need to do is to do some diligent searching and reading. And reading the verses before the word that we've looked at, as well as the verses after, in order to get the context. You know, one of the first things that goes when man starts falling away is the reading of God's Word. So if you find yourself not reading as much as you used to, it's not the thing to do. It's not the thing to do. We spend all kinds of times reading all kinds of manuals that we get in the mail because of our jobs. Well, let me tell you, there's something more important than all the manuals you'll ever get with any machine that you're involved with or any work that you're involved with. That is God's written word. It is God's heart. It is God's mind being presented to man so that man might know who he is. And so when I need to be comforted, I turn to God's will and I begin to read. There were some who believed that unless they were living when Jesus returned, that they would not be blessed. After Paul had given them instruction in reference to what it really was going to be like, and how that all that were in the grave were going to be resurrected, and all the faithful of all ages brought together, Paul said, comfort ye one another with these words. So you want to be comforted? You want to find comfort from God? Then you read His will, and you immerse yourself into it, and comfort won't be far off. Oh, David, that's too simple. Well, maybe so, but that's where it is. Turning to God's Word and reading and rightly dividing it and cutting it straight. But there's something else. If we're going to want to be comforted by God and we want to find comfort that comes from Him, and that is we must be willing to talk to Him. I have been told by some that the only prayers that they hear are the prayers that are offered when they're at meeting places like this. And that is a sad situation. If the only time that we either pray and say amen, that it's here. That it's only on Sunday and only on Wednesday night. I'm a firm believer that every day that we live, our day ought to start with prayer. There ought to be times in the day that we pray and before we pillow our head at night. It's almost like saying, good morning, Lord, in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping me through the day. And then at night saying, good night, watch over me. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and there verse 7, it says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. One of the things that you found the Lord did on a frequent basis is that he talked to God. He was deity, yes. He was the Son of God, yes. But he still spoke to God in prayer. And he taught us to pray. His disciples wanted to be taught how to pray. And what they were doing is that they wanted to know how to communicate with God. Romans 10 verses 1 through 4 points out that prayer is heart's desire expressed to God. It's not limiting God, because God already knows what we want, but God also knows for whatever, maybe it's because he's put it there. He also knows that for some reason that we feel a lot better after we've talked to God. Like when we were youngsters, we felt a lot better when we talked to Mama. Mama just seemed to be able to heal all the problems that were there. As we get older, because we understand that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, we know the importance of speaking to him. But we not only speak to him when we are in distress, we need to speak to him when all things are well. Sometimes we use God as a spare tire. The only time that we want to use him is when things are bad. But that's not the way it ought to be. You see, we need to be comforted every day that we live. And I always need to know that God is there, that he's going to be there when things are good and things are bad. For I believe that if we recognize that he's there when things are good, that when things are bad, when we do feel distressed, when we do feel downtrodden, we know that he's going to be there as well. Another one of the things that we often do when we start failing is that we quit talking to God. Relationships end when we stop talking. One of the saddest situations on this earth is when you watch men and women who are no longer communicating with each other, no longer talking to each other, no longer looking each other into the eye. What that is saying is there's something wrong with the relationship. When you stop talking to God, there's something wrong with the relationship. You're not wanting to talk to God, and you need to speak to him, because it is through him that comfort can be found. Over in Philippians chapter 4, and there beginning with verse 6, it reads, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, as I cast all of my burdens and all of my cares upon him, then I can find consolation. I can find comfort in times of grief and in times of sickness and in times of loss and times of death. I don't know what it had been like not to have been able to talk to God when Mama died. I don't know what it had been like not to have God to talk to when my brother died. I don't know what it would have been like not to have God to talk to when the children decided to move away from Houston, Texas and go in all other directions. I need comfort. And I get that comfort by speaking to my Father. By speaking to my Father. But there is another means that I get comfort, and that is the hope of the resurrection. We were talking in class this morning from Thessalonians, and I had to smile somewhat, Bob, when that discussion came up, because I knew exactly what I was going to say tonight about the resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians, if you'd like to turn your attention there, there were those who were concerned about the departure of those who were their people. And again, there were those who had the belief that unless they were there when Christ died, then they were not going to be blessed. But in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find that the Apostle Paul called upon the brethren as he said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And then he discusses with them the resurrection. He discusses with them their resurrection. The fact that one day is coming when all the people of all ages, and I'd like to read that, beginning with verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." What was going to give these people comfort about those who had gone on before them? The thing that was going to give them comfort is the fact that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. And as he resurrected from the grave, they too were going to be resurrected. In our discussion in class this morning, we talked about the Lord's Supper. We talked about the resurrection. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, our minds are called to the death of Christ. Our mind is called to the resurrection of Christ. But our mind also is called into the distant future, or it may be closer than what we think. But it's at least called into the future. And that may be this evening or may be tomorrow. But what is called into our attention is that we too are going to be resurrected. Every time I partake of the Lord's Supper, not only do I think about the Lord's resurrection, I think about my own resurrection and the hope that I have in Christ Jesus, that one day he's going to bring together all the people of all ages that have been faithful. And there we will be with him forever and forever. And that gives me comfort. Every time I partake of the supper, it gives me comfort because it reminds me that my Lord resurrected. And as he resurrected, one day this mortal will put on immortality. This corrupt being will put on incorruption. One day I will be immortal. One day I will be eternally with God forever and forever. And that gives me comfort. When things seem to be going wrong, when things seem to be going bad, I try not to lose sight of the resurrection of Christ and my own resurrection as well. That's why death doesn't have a sting for the Christian. Death doesn't have a bitterness. When I said goodbye to my mother, though it was sad because I was saying goodbye to a mother, there was a certain sense of joy there because she was in Christ. She has hope in Christ. And if she has hope in Christ, then she's just taken a step. She's just graduated into another area that I have not gone as of yet. But one day I shall be there. And one day we all shall be as he is. And that comforts. As I've told you the story about a friend of mine in Americus, Georgia, who had a massive heart attack, and his children were just, "Daddy, don't go, Daddy." And he basically said, "Well, y'all shut up." He said it a little kinder than that, but that's what he meant. He said, "I've been working on this all of my life, and I'm ready to die and be with the Lord. Just make sure that you are when it's your time." And he passed away peacefully. He was comforted, and his family was also comforted because he not only believed in the resurrection of Christ, he believed in his own resurrection and being with the Lord forever and ever. And that's what makes us different from the world. That's what makes us unique. The world doesn't have that hope. Or if they perceive that they do, it is a false hope. Where our hope is based upon the resurrection of Christ, Our hope is based upon the Word of God. Our hope is based upon being able to cast all of our cares and all of our burdens upon Him because He loves us. When Jesus came to Bethany to confront Mary and Martha, in John chapter 11, both of them said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Jesus later reasoned with Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said she knew that he would rise again at the last day. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live." Don't lose sight of your resurrection. Don't lose sight of your hope. Don't lose sight of your eternity. And when things get bad, look ahead. Don't dwell on the present. And it'll make it a lot easier as you deal with grief, as you deal with sorrow, and as you deal with all sorts of pain. But there's one other thing that God knew that we were going to need in order to be comforted, and that is He knew that we were going to need people. He knew that we were going to need each other. In Genesis, we find that when God made man, as deity talked about the situation, they said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And it's not. Most of the folks who have lost their mates would tell you that it is a miserable situation. Many cases they would say, "I know that he or she couldn't stay, but they're still somewhat sorrowful. Even though they have hope of their eternal being with God, they've lost something. They've lost the one that they could talk to. They lost the one that they could walk down the street together, hand in hand, looking at little simple things like a flower blooming, or the seashore, or a small animal as it runs across their path. We need people. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and there verse 4, it says this, "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now what that is telling me is that as I have been comforted, and most of us have been, as I have been comforted, then there comes a time in which I must seek out opportunity to comfort others as well. We are comforted by God in order to be able to comfort others. One who has gone through the loss of a mate, one who has gone through the loss of a child, one who has gone through the loss of a position, one who has gone through whatever loss you want to put there. And a brother or sister in Christ goes through the same thing. Then you can go there, not in an arrogant way, but you can go there with comforting words and say, "I've been there. I know how you feel. Let me help you. Let me comfort you. Let me console you in that which is right." One who has been seriously ill and recovered can comfort someone else. One who has been in a severe automobile accident and overcome can go and help someone else who has months and months of rehabilitation before them. We are a people that need one another. We are a people that need comfort one from another. And it's very discomforting when we are not given the comfort that is needed. We were speaking with someone today about their visit somewhere, and they were talking about attending somewhere. And Cynthia and I did this just the other day ourselves. And we walked into a building, and we sat down, and we worshiped God, and that's what we were there for. But as we got up and walked out, then very few people said anything, and that was discomforting to me. And so Cynthia and I talked, I said, "It must have been all of them were visitors too." That wasn't the case. We need each other. We don't need to be busybodies in each other's affairs, as Thessalonians talks about as well. But there's a lot of my life that I can share with you, and a lot of your life that you can share with me. And in sharing that one with the other, it brings about consolation and comfort. Paul tells how the coming of Titus comforted him over in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and 6. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus had good words that he wanted to share. Now let's face it, we don't need someone coming in when we're down saying, "Oh, I've been there, let me tell how miserable it is. Oh, my great-granddaddy had the thing what you got, the same thing you had. He died with it. He didn't last much longer than 2 or 3 days. That's not really the kind of comfort that is needed. When Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea, when Paul made his way to Athens where he waited for them, one can sense a loneliness and a need for comfort. As it says in Acts 17 in there, verse 16, "Now when Paul waited for them at Athens in spirit, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given over to idolatry." He was perplexed at what he saw. When they came, they gave him consolation. And then in Romans 12 and there, verse 15, as we talk about receiving comfort from people, there the text says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Needless to say, I may not always know when you're rejoicing or when you're weeping. But if we know each other well enough, if we look each other in the eyes as often as we should, then I ought to have a pretty good idea when things are not going well with you. And you ought to know when things are not going well with me. And that's a good time to say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, need to talk. Or I'll be praying for you." And sometimes that's all people need to hear, "I'll be praying for you." These are some of the ways that God comforts those who are cast down. Comfort does not come to us in miraculous means or through miraculous means, but rather circumstances that are around us and turning those circumstances into good. You know, Joseph did not think that it was a good thing when his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph did not think that it was a good thing when Potiphar's wife lied about him. Joseph did not think that it was a great thing to be cast into prison and then to be forgotten by the butler. But he knew. Joseph knew that there was a purpose behind all of that. And in verse 5 of Genesis 45, "Now therefore be not grieved," as he spoke to his brethren, "be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did not send me before, for God did send me before you to preserve life. You meant it to my harm," he said, "but God meant it for good." And when each one of us has a proper perspective of why we're here upon this earth, and our whole reason upon the face of this earth is to give honor and to glory unto God, and when we give Him that honor and that glory, then our eternal abode is set, and heaven will be our home. There is a great promise over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or excuse me, chapter 10 and verse 13. "No temptation has ever overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful." That is, you can rely upon Him. He's truthful. He's trustworthy. "God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation will also make the way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." And I'm telling you tonight that I'm able to bear the things that come in my life, and you are as well. You can find comfort in the Word of God. You can find comfort in talking to God. You can find comfort in the fact that you're going to be resurrected. And you can find comfort in people just like you who love you and want the best for you and want to one day be able to stand with you in heaven and be with God there in his home. There's another passage that came to my mind, and that's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. Faith and hope one day will be realized, but love is that which continues. When you have the love for God as he has the love for you, then there will be the comfort that you need. God comforts us, but we've got to let God do it. We sing the song, "Let him have his way with thee." And that's what we've got to do at times. Let him have his way. Quit trying to work it out yourself. Let God have his way. And I guarantee you, it'll be a lot better. It'll be a lot better. We come to the close of another service. At least it's part of the service, where we extend the Lord's invitation. And it is the Lord's invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul." The Lord's invitation is come and find eternal life in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto him except through Christ. No one can come to God except through Christ. Will you not tonight do that very thing? Will you not come to God through Christ by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ? We will immerse you immediately, and all can be well, and you can find the comfort that comes from God. If you're God's child and you've gone back into the world, you haven't had comfort of late, ask for his forgiveness. He'll give it. Make restitution where it needs to be made, and all can be well in a little while. Think of that. While together we stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus call, tenderly upon your ear. Sweet is triumph of divinity call, come and listen, say and hear. Ye have labor and are heavy laden me upon your ear.
Our Father and God in heaven, we thank thee again for this privilege we have had as thy children to meet together, to hear another portion of thy word, and to partake of the bread and the cup, which represent to us the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We thank thee, our Father, for these lessons that David has brought. We pray they may sink deep into honest hearts and bring forth much fruit. We ask thee to be with those who are unable to be here. We ask thee to heal them and comfort them, that they might once again be able to assemble with us. We pray for those in other places that we help support. We pray for their health and well-being, that they may continue to teach thy word in its simplicity, that more and more people might hear it and obey it. Be with David and Lee as they travel to places where we are helping to support, that they might be safe, and that a good meeting may come of the one in Mississippi. We ask thee to be with us as we endeavor to do thy will. Help us always to study thy word, to learn how we might rightly divide it, how we might do those things that are pleasing in thy sight, and live our lives in such a way that heaven may be our home. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.